In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So today, beloved, we are 2 weeks away from the beginning of Great Lent. And at this two-week period, we hear the gospel of the prodigal son. Now, we know that if nothing else, Great Lent is given to us for one reason. And that is to prepare us for Pascha. So at the beginning of Lent and during the first parts of it, we do lots of inward thinking, lots of reflection, lots of consideration about our own lives. And then later, toward the end, and as we enter into Holy Week, we shift our focus to Christ and His Passion and the things done for us and for our salvation. So as we prepare to get into that mode, the church gets us ready by this gospel today. The gospel of the prodigal son is an excellent illustration of what we need to do. This inward reflection we talked about. This inward thought. Take an inventory of ourselves. We hope and we pray will lead to repentance. And that's what we have in the gospel today. We have a story of repentance. And what an illustration it is. You know, think about the narrative in that gospel. We have a father with two sons. And first of all, it's a great illustration of what sin is. The father has two sons, and the younger of the sons approaches his father and says, "Father, give me my inheritance." Now, we know that everything the father has would belong to the son, or at least half of it at a certain point. But the son says, "No, I want it now, and I want it on my own terms." Okay, this is the same thing Adam and Eve did in Genesis, isn't it? God had everything for them. He created them in His image. He created them to be like Him. But they wanted it on their own terms, and they wanted it against the will and the order and the instruction and commandment of God. So this is the very nature of sin, beloved. We could look at our own lives and think about that. How often do we go against the will of God and demand things on our own terms? Things He might have already given us in due time. And that's what happens in the gospel today. So the Father does not resist, but rather gives the Son what He asks for. And we know what happens as the story plays out. He falls into hardship. He falls into various sinful, squandering, prodigious living. You know, and he becomes homeless and hungry and not able to even feed himself. Okay? So then we might ask, you know, the Father allowed that, huh? And of course, yes. God even will also allow that for us. You know, sometimes we wonder, if we pray for something, is God always going to give us what we want? We've talked about that before. Well, in this instance, and in some instances, God will give us what we want, even if it's not for our good, if it's going to teach us something. You know, He may give us what we want that's not good for us, but if we learn something from it, then it ends up being ultimately for good. And that's kind of what we see in the gospel today. The father gave the son the inheritance early. He let him take it. And of course, he squandered it. He spent it. And he was at a point in his life where he didn't have food to eat. And the food that he was feeding the pigs started to look good. And he wished he had that. So the important thing here is that moment. And the gospel tells us he has a moment where he comes to himself. He comes to a realization. And I like the phrasing of that. Because it's almost like he was someone else. And he becomes the person he was supposed to be. He comes to himself and he realizes, "This is what I have done. This is what I need to do." And then he takes action to do it. Beloved, this is what repentance is in the eyes of the church. This is what Lent is preparing us for. You know, this inward reflection, this thought, this prayer is leading us to some kind of a realization about ourselves. You know, if we could come clean, if we could have a moment, if we could come to ourselves, to our senses, and realize God created us for this, and we are wasting, we are going against His will, in whatever capacity, in whatever situation is pertinent to us. This is what the church calls us to. So we see in the gospel story then, here's another great lesson for us about how God is. I just want to point out, this gospel is not hard to figure out, is it? I mean, we all know the Father is God, and the sons are the people. It's us. So the younger son has this moment, and he starts to make his way to the home of the father. And as he's on his way, the father sees him from a distance and rushes toward him and embraces him and receives him and commands that the best things be given to him, the robes, the rings, make the feast. My son has returned. See, this is how God is with us. You know, if we make one little budge toward repentance or doing what's right, one little human effort, and God is there. He wants to receive us. He wants to grab us back. Sometimes making that little effort is tough, though. It's small, it's human, but there it is, and there God is, full on, embracing the Son, kissing Him, and receiving Him back home, where He belongs. So this story is really the story of us. It's a story of people created by God living in the world. You know, living in the world far from where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in heaven. We're supposed to be in God's image. We're supposed to be kings and queens and caretakers of all creation. But we live in poverty, spiritual poverty, beloved. We have to find our way back to our home, back to our Father, back to life with God. And this is what Lent is for. It's to prepare us to do that, to learn how to do it. And Lent is a learning experience. We always say that too. I'll share something with you. My first experience preaching ever was at the seminary, my second year as a student, and my name came up on the rotation, and I looked up the readings to see what I was going to have to preach on. And this wasn't Lent, but it was Nativity Fast, so the Christmas Lent. And during that period at the seminary at St. Vladimir's, they don't read Gospels. They read from the Old Testament. So I looked it up, and it was Isaiah chapter 6, and I thought, great. What am I going to do with the Old Testament, you know, not having any experience? But that's what the seminary does, and that's what our readings are during the week, during Great Lent. We don't have Gospels, except on certain Wednesdays when we have pre-sanctified, because the church is taking us back to a time when we were expecting Christ. It's taking our minds, our spirits, and our whole beings back to a time when we were hungry for Him to come. So we read from the Old Testament, the prophecies that talk about Him. The book of Proverbs, which teaches wisdom. Genesis, which is the story from the beginning. It's almost like we're waiting for Him to come the first time, and we have to get in that frame of mind. That's what Lent is for, beloved. Get into a frame of mind thinking that we're very much at the beginning, and we're waiting for Him to come, and we're expecting Him. So what do you do to prepare, right? That's the thing. What do you do to prepare? Examine your life. Make steps toward God. Repent, of course, and pray for His mercy that He will receive us repentant, just like the Father in the Gospel today. So that's not the end of the story, though. You know, receiving the son back, the younger son. Of course, it's a joyous occasion. Kill the fatted calf. Right? Have a celebration, put rings on his finger. We're going to celebrate, my son was lost and he is found. That's not the end of the story, because there's another son in this gospel story, in this narrative, and we don't want to overlook him, because there's a great lesson there. We need to, if we're faithful, see ourselves not just in the younger son, but in the older son too. It's too easy to overlook him. How does he react? He's disappointed. He's angry. It even says he's angry. He resents the father making a big deal about the son who wandered astray coming back. And he says, I've been here all these years. I was faithful. I never left. And I've never had a party. You've never given me a calf to make merry with my friends. So he's resentful and bitter toward his younger brother. The lesson here, beloved, is that when we enter Great Lent, and when we embrace these tools that the church gives us, fasting, prayer, being reflective, you know, almsgiving, these things, when we embrace them, we could do them all. We could come to all the services. We can keep every fast and still blow it. Right? How? Well, by being the older son and looking at other people and saying, I didn't see so-and-so in church. Or did you see those people that were there on Palm Sunday? Where are they the rest of the year? I'm here every Sunday. Who do they think they are? You know, if we can be resentful and critical and judgmental like that, then we've blown it. And our fasting and our prayers are no good. So it's difficult. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We don't only have to embrace the fast and the prayers and the services. We have to do it in the right spirit. We have to do it in the right spirit, which is a spirit of love. And that's the thing that was missing from the older brother. So two great examples in the gospel today about repentance, about seeing ourselves as we are and making our way back to God, being truthful, being honest, coming to ourselves, and also about being generous and kind and loving toward everyone else and not holding ourselves above them like the older brother. So it's our task and our calling today to see ourselves in this gospel in both sons, you know. Whichever one applies, and I'm sure there are times when either one works and either one can fit what's going on in our own personal lives. But see ourselves in there and be kind and generous toward others and also turn back to God and make our way to him. We saw in the gospel that one little tiny effort on our part sends the Father running to embrace the Son. God wants to forgive us. He wants to receive us. He wants to put us back in his home, eating from the banquet and the feast the way it should be, and not living with the swine and hungry. And he'll do everything in his power to put us there. We have to make a little effort though, right? Let us pray for that effort. Let us pray for a kind heart and a loving heart to treat others in a way that's compassionate and like the Father and not like the older son in today's gospel. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.